Greetings, friends, and welcome back to our discussion on Romans, the 9th chapter. Right now, we're going to turn to verse 13 to pick up where we left off at the last program. This is Romans chapter 9 and verse 13. The question is God unfair? Now, we read earlier in chapter 9, verses 1 through 12, about two examples where God said that Isaac was the son of promise as opposed to Ishmael, who was the son of a physical act when Sarah said to Abraham, "Go into my handmaiden Hagar and have a child by her." God said, even though Ishmael was the firstborn, I'm going to bypass him and I am electing Isaac for a special purpose. The second example was that Rebekah and Isaac had two children, and before those two children were even born, God said, I'm going to bypass the elder, which is Esau, and I'm going to elect to do a special thing through the younger, which is Jacob. So in both cases, God said, even though the natural, physical succession of things should go from the father to the firstborn, I am bypassing that physical rule, and I am going to elect to choose the second born one, the younger one. And then we have to ask the question in verse 14, the question is, what shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God, or is there unfairness with God? And what is the answer? Let it not be, and that's with an exclamation point. Let it not be. Do not even let that thought come into your mind. There is no unrighteousness and no unfairness with God. God has mercy on whom he will have mercy, and he has compassion on whom he will have compassion. It's up to God. But we know that God wants everyone to be saved. It's just that salvation will come to people at certain times. But these are examples that God is using to say, listen, right now the Israelites are cut off and the Gentiles are having their chance at salvation, but that's up to me to make that decision. Don't worry about that, because there will come a time in the future when I will give the Israelites a chance at salvation. But right now, I've just put them in blindness. I've put them in unbelief so that I could use the Gentiles to provoke them to jealousy. And this provocation comes because the Israelites were the first ones dealt with. They were the chosen people. They were the ones who wrote the Bible as God inspired people to write it. And yet they turned their backs on God. They turned their backs on God's Son, Jesus the Christ. And so God said, you want to turn your back on me? I'm going to turn my back on you. Just like Adam and Eve turned their back on God when they disbelieved God and they disobeyed God, and he kicked them out of the Garden of Eden. Well, he's saying, Israel, I'm kicking you out of my sight too, and I'm going to deal with the Gentiles. Why? Because then the Israelites are going to look at the Gentiles and say, well, wait a minute. This is our God, you know? This is our book. We're the ones who God was dealing with. And Gentiles will say, and God will say, yeah, you're right, but you blew it. If you want to get in on the action, then come on. It's open to you now. Now you can have faith. It's no problem, because God wants to save everybody. It's just that God works at different stages. And that's what he's talking about as a whole. If we read all the way through Romans chapter 9 and Romans chapter 11, and if you haven't been with us for previous programs, I hope you'll log on to our website and you'll listen to our previous programs, or you can download the article and read the article, and they're all for free. All right, so the question is, what shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness or unfairness with God? Don't even let that thought come into your mind. Now verse 15. For God has said to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. In other words, shut up. Get out of my face. You don't tell me what to do. I'm God. You're not, okay? I created you, so I can do what I want to do. Now God is not saying that in some kind of haughty type of fashion, in some kind of unconcerned fashion. God is love, and God wants everybody to be saved. He has no pleasure in the death of the wicked, even. So God wants everyone to be saved. But who are we to go around saying, well, wait a minute, God, that's not unfair. We can't tell God, we can't jump in God's face and say, God, you're not handling your business the right way. You need to straighten up and fly right. No, we can't talk to God like that. God is saying, listen, it's up to me to make the decisions, okay? In verse 16, he says, so then, it is not of the one who wills to do something. I can't just sit down and say, this is my will, God, and you therefore have to follow it. No. And it's not of the one who does the running. Just because you're running the race, it doesn't mean you're going to win. All right? God will beat us every time. It says, but it's of God. God is the one who shows the mercy. Verse 17, he gives a third example. For the scripture says concerning Pharaoh, that I, God, for this same purpose, I raised Pharaoh up, that I might show my power in Pharaoh, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. What is this saying? Let's go on to read, because it's not me making stuff up. I want you to see in your own words, and this is in verse 18. Therefore he has mercy on whom he will have mercy, and on whom he will, he hardens their heart. Isn't that what God did to Pharaoh? It is God who hardened Pharaoh's heart. Now we can say, well, God used Satan to do it. That's fine. But the fact of the matter is, God is the one who says, Satan, if he is using Satan, Satan, go over there and harden Pharaoh's heart, right? And some people will argue, well, Pharaoh had a hardened heart anyway, so God just, you know, capitalized on that. Well, whatever we want to say, God said that he raised up Pharaoh for a specific purpose. God had this in mind, and he made sure that his purpose was fulfilled, and his purpose was to harden Pharaoh's heart, make him the most powerful person in the world at that time, harden his heart so that he would not, of his own will, let the people of Israel go, all right, because he had this measly man Moses come to him who had been with the sheep for 40 years, and he was stuttering, bah, 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 Satan, let my people go, let my people go. I mean, he was just a measly little old man, Moses, at that time. But he's talking to Pharaoh, the greatest man on earth at the time. And God is hardening his heart after every one of the plagues. God is hardening Pharaoh's heart. And finally, of course, Pharaoh did let the people go because of the death of the firstborn. But even after that, he follows Moses into the wilderness. And there at the Red Sea, he pursues them into the Red Sea, and then he's overwhelmed by the waters. So right down to the end, his heart was hardened, and he never would really relent and give up his rulership over the people of Israel, because that was a great part of his wealth, and that was a great part of his pride. It's like, imagine, what are people going to say about me if I let these slaves go free? Just because some man with a staff comes up to me saying, can you let my people go? I mean, no, that's not going to happen. So God said, I did that for a purpose. What was the purpose? To show that it's not according to the will of Moses or the will of Aaron or anybody else. They could not have ever caused Pharaoh to let the people go. It was God who did that. So God was showing his power by hardening the heart of the most powerful man on earth. And God is saying through measly old Moses, I am going to break the power of Pharaoh. He is going to let the people go. Then he's going to follow him. Then I'm going to destroy him. And my people will be free. And Pharaoh and the Egyptians will be the laughingstock of all the nations on the earth. That's what God was doing, to show his power. And so he said, again, for the scripture says to Pharaoh, even for this same purpose I have raised you up, that I might show my power in you, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. God's name was declared throughout all the earth. Look what God has done to the mighty nation of Israel. To the mighty nation of Egypt. Look what God has done to this mighty man, Pharaoh. He has destroyed them. He's wiped them out. And now the Israelites are free. So God's name was proclaimed, declared throughout all the earth, and God demonstrated his power in Pharaoh in that he brought the powerful Pharaoh down to nothing and let the Israelites go. And he says in conclusion, verse 18, therefore he has mercy on whom he will have mercy, and on whom he will, he hardens. God has done this. So that's three examples. In verse 19, the question has to be asked again, because people just can't wrap their minds around this, that God can do something like this, can have mercy on somebody, and then he can harden the hearts of other people so that he doesn't show mercy to them. People can't wrap their minds around that. So in verse 19, the question is asked again. So you then will say to me, well, why does God find fault with anyone? Who has resisted his will? No, you vain man, who are you to reply against God? Shall the thing formed, which is us as human beings, say to him who formed it, God is the one who formed us from the dust of the earth, shall we say, why have you made me this way, God? Does not the potter have power over the clay? Doesn't God, having power over the clay, have the ability and the right to say, I'm going to take this lump, and out of this lump, I'm going to make one vessel for honorable purposes, and another vessel I'm going to make out of the same lump, but this vessel is going to be used for dishonorable purposes. So, in one case, God takes a lump of clay, and he makes a beautiful glass out of it, or a beautiful cup out of it, and people drink out of it. Out of that same lump of clay, God makes a toilet bowl so people can defecate in it. I mean, one is for honorable use, one is for dishonorable use. It's the same lump of clay, but God says, hey, it's up to me. I'm the potter. I'm the one who made the clay. I'm the one who can make whatever I want out of it. Now, verse 22, he brings it back around, and he says, so what if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction, and that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy which he had before prepared to glory? In verse 24 it says, whom he also called, not only us of Jews, but also of the nations. That's the question. God has shown his wrath toward the majority of the Israelites, and then toward the majority of the Gentiles, he has shown mercy. Well, that's up to God to do that. But God will show mercy also to the majority of the Israelites. But he's going to do that at a later time, after he has finished showing mercy to the Gentiles. So that's after the fullness of the Gentiles comes in, and he uses them to provoke the Israelites to jealousy, and then they say, well, let me get on the action. God says, okay, you've been thoroughly humbled. Now I'm ready to show mercy on you, because you're going to accept me as Messiah. You're going to accept me as God the Father. So that's what God is doing, and God has the right to do that. So I hope that God has sufficiently answered your question about whether or not he is fair. And the answer is, of course, God is fair. Well, thank you for joining me on this program. I hope you'll come back for the next program, and may God be in you.
If you would like to contact us or order free literature, please visit our website at www.christianambassadors.org or call us on 404-412-0032. Thanks for listening. May God be in you.